coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance. Green across the board today, all share up 1.3%, largely bolstered by the Resources 10 component, which gained over 2%. Industrial 25 managing a 1.4% climb. Financial 15, 0.7% to the good. And joining me in studio now for a closer look at the kind of activity that played out in the equity space today, Viv Govender from Rand Swiss Offshore. Thanks so much, Viv, for joining us today. So that in a nutshell, the trading day that was locally, we had the JSE moving higher, led by Naspers, but our miners also standing at the forefront. And I guess, a lot of it having to do with the rise in some of the commodity prices, oil in particular, standing at the forefront.
Yeah, I think also it's got some kind of comfort that the Fed might be like looking to be a bit more dovish than people had been fearing. Right now, we still have a lot of issues around. We have, of course, Brexit, like you talked about. We have, of course, the slowing Chinese economy, which I think is quite troubling. I mean, the putting a range where there's normally they feel comfortable enough to put a target, and that gives you some kind of idea as to what's happening there. They even like talking about reducing some of that environmental controls to, you know, boost growth. So it looks like they are in a bit of danger of, like, you know, really slowing down more than anticipated. Yet, like as you said, the market is looking quite strong at the moment, and I think that's kind of like driven by the Fed at the moment.
Yeah. Financials trading in positive territory, up 0.7%, but certainly the laggards compared to the performance in other sectors today. How much of that performance being attributed to load shedding currently underway and getting progressively worse as the days go by?
Yeah, look, the load shedding situation is horrible. And I mean, I was wondering yesterday when it was Sunday, it was summer, and yet we had stage four load shedding. I mean, think about it. It's like, you know, this is as easy as it gets. You know, you don't have the heaters on. You don't have, you know, the normal workday happening. And yet, stage four load shedding. And they have talked about the Mozambique situation, but it's only a tiny fraction of what the total, you know, shortfall is. I mean, it's like, I think, 1,000 megawatts or something like that here. And it's like a small part of what's actually the shortfall at the moment. They're trying to say about 4,000. And the issue as well is that beyond just the load shedding issue is the fact that our infrastructure is quite weak. Mm-hmm. And so we do have load shedding. Other things get affected. I know personally, when near my place, when they do have load shedding, it's usually an eight-hour thing because the first 4 hours is load shedding and the next 4 hours is repairing the damage, the load shedding due to the grid until your power comes back on. So it's 8 hours off at the time. And there's also discussions right now about the water system. Apparently, you know, if you don't, you know, have load power for long enough here, you will find that some of these pumps are not working, and therefore you will find certain areas not just having no power, but also having no water as well, which is a terrible combination.
Absolutely. It certainly makes you wonder what the real problem is at Eskom and whether anyone knows for that matter. Let's take a look at Steinhoff because its share price getting, seeing quite a bounce today on the back of a PwC forensic investigation into the retailer's past, which has now suggested that the quantum of fictitious transactions at the retailer may be slightly less than originally thought. Are you buying it?
No, not yet, because I still don't. Look, I always say to clients, like, the only way I can see Steinhoff is to look at the financials. And if I'm uncertain what the financials actually mean, I can't buy the company because I can't see what the company actually is doing. I mean, how do you know how MTN is doing versus a game, versus Massport? How do you know which is a bigger company? How do you know which was what, you know, what's happening? You can't just compare it to the stores. The game store is bigger than the MTN store, but, you know, Massport, you know, and MTN are different size companies. And the reason being is that, you know, you have to look at the financials, and the financials are untrustworthy, you can't invest.
So let's take a look at a few financials that did come to the fore today and whether they put more of an investment case on the table for you at this point. Advitech trading lower today, saying that revenue rose in the year to December, but really cautioning about, the path ahead in the context of a slowing economy, but in the context of an economy that's also losing a whole lot of South Africans to other economies.
It's surprising just how big the impact of immigration is, because when you see some of the banks talk about the fact that, you know, they're seeing a substantial fraction of the houses on the market being due to immigration. You know, it's not just that, you know, like we got a sale thing where it's all the owner is immigrating, you'll get it cheap, you know, that kind of thing. You think that's often that's basically because of the real estate agent wanted to sell the house quicker. But there's actually a significant amount of people emigrating at the moment, especially the higher net worth individuals, higher income individuals, people that be willing to basically pay more for their kids' schooling, and also people of a certain age as well who are, you know, just entering the real productive years of their lives when they do have kids that are going to school. And these guys are leaving, which is a terrible, you know, burden to South Africa. Another thing is that they also are putting about $2 billion, I think, into, you know, that into a range of about $2 billion, looking to basically for that Monash acquisition. Which does show maybe some, you know, positivity going forward regarding, the financial, education system in South Africa. But it remains to be seen what happens to that when, you know, public education is free.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a look then at whether a more emboldened stance into the rest of the continent makes sense.
Look, Africa has this huge demographic burden. I think it's the biggest story in the world, you know, for this century at least, which is going to be the number of new people entering the world, basically, coming primarily from Africa. I mean, Africa is going to go from 17 up to 40% of the world population in the next 50 years or so. That's a huge change. I mean, from 1/7 to 40, you know, almost half of all the world is going to be African. Those people need to be educated. Those people need to be basically provided with jobs, the infrastructure for them, the education, all the opportunities around them. If it works out, it's the biggest economic story in history. If it doesn't work out, it's the biggest economic crisis in history. Yeah. So it's one of those things I think it's really a key, you know, defining decision for the 21st century.
Sun International versus Grand Parade in the meantime. Mm. Pure gaming and leisure versus gaming and leisure with a bit of a food component. Which is more appealing for you right now?
I'm interested in the whole Grand Parade thing. Apparently, they're saying they're looking at renegotiating some of those rental prices. Plus, they're saying that they're looking more for drive-throughs as opposed to, you know, walk-in restaurants. I don't know, McDonald's, to a large extent, are drive-throughs. Mm-hmm. You see them all over the place. You often standalone drive-throughs almost. You know, and it does make sense that, you know, maybe that's how burgers are eaten in South Africa. But that being said, it was interesting to think that, you know, they are suffering quite badly. I mean, you've seen cases like Dunkin' Donuts, where the explanation would be that the market in South Africa doesn't quite work with Dunkin' Donuts like it does in America, because it's a different kind of price point for the consumer. But I don't know why, because, you know, Burger King is not working for South Africa, because McDonald's seems to be doing okay.
Well, Burger King are paying off to a certain degree, and it is ramping up its expansion in that territory. So we'll have to see how things play out for it on that front. In the meantime, you're opting as your stock pick gaming of a different kind. So talk us through that.
EA Electronic Arts, I think they basically have had a bit of a down in a spell for a little while right now. They've just got a new game called Apex Legends, and you don't ask me if I've played it, I have not. But apparently it's one of those new shooter games that is really like taking the world by storm. What they did was they paid some guy called Ninja, who's a famous gamer out there, $1 million to play it for a day. That's the kind of job I want. And apparently that's really paid off, because now it's gotten some of the fastest growth in human history in terms of, you know, pickup fire, you know, players out there. And it's become the new Fortnite, effectively. And that might be a new kind of blockbuster game for EA. And there'd been a fear that EA hadn't had a blockbuster game for quite some time, and it wasn't scheduled to have another one coming in the near future.
Let's leave it there, Viv. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Viv Govender is with Rand Swiss Offshore. Welcome back. You're watching Taking Stock. Well, Grand Parade Investments delivered its half-year numbers today, reporting a 16% rise in headline earnings. This was largely driven by an increase of over 9 million rand in contributions from the gaming and leisure assets. But the group's investments in the food sector lagged, and we're joined on the line now by its acting CEO, Mohsen Tajbhai, as he shares more of the detail around these latest numbers. Thanks so much, Mohsen, for your time this evening. So you've had a pretty tough year, with the headline loss in the local market widening by 66% to the 6 months ended December. This despite revenues increasing by more than a third. And we know that the impairment of Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins is one big factor to consider here. But what are some of the other contributors to the disconnect that's come through?
Hi, Alicia. Yes, I mean, we've seen a loss. We've seen a loss in basic earnings. And despite, you know, revenues increasing in Burger King by 35%, that's obviously, we've seen an increase in depreciation costs that have come through as well. I mean, last year we had built 12 stores more than we had this year. And so obviously those costs were coming through. I think the big thing that we saw is that there was, a lot of margin erosion that we saw in the beginning of 2018. And so our margins decreased from about 56% down to 52%. We've been working quite furiously to get these margins up. And the trend is, you know, we are getting positive. Our margins are back up to 54% and growing.
Yeah. So talk us through what exactly you're doing to alleviate some of the pressure and trigger some of that upward momentum in margins.
Yeah, so the one thing that we've done quite aggressively is launch a value strategy in Burger King. You know, 2 for 55 and 2 for 100 have been doing really well. this has managed, you know, it's allowed us to actually grow our volumes. And with the volumes, we've gone to our suppliers and, you know, they've passed us volume discounts. So that's obviously improved our margins. The other thing that we've done is, you know, based on our new procurement policy, we went out to tender on our bulk distribution. We've now signed a deal with Digistics, which will add 1.7% to our margin. So that's been, you know, it's been a good move on our side.
Yeah. Talking about deals being struck, Mohsen, you've mentioned that you're looking to renegotiate better rental terms or relocate some of your, you know, worse performing restaurants in order to improve performance. How are those conversations going with your leases?
Yes, it's going well. So, I mean, our strategy is twofold, obviously growing our new restaurant count, but also looking at our poor-performing restaurants. And a lot of those restaurants were the restaurants that we opened initially. You know, when we hadn't really perfected our site selection process. And those rental tenures have come to the end of their term. And we've been renegotiating, and, you know, landlords are in a tight spot at the moment. So they are willing to renegotiate better rental deals. And we're using, you know, we're using that to our advantage.
Yeah.
And in certain cases, we're looking to actually relocate those restaurants to more, you know, favorable locations. And, you know, if we can't renegotiate better rentals and we can't relocate the restaurants, then, you know, we have to close down unprofitable restaurants.
With that being the case, and in addition, you only adding, what, 3 outlets on a net basis over the period, does this, you know, throw off your plans at all to increase store count by, what, 15 stores over the next 3 years, or 15 stores a year over the next 3 years?
No, it hasn't thrown us out. I mean, I think what we've done is that we used this period over the last year where you've seen kind of nominal growth in restaurant count to actually consolidate, go back, look at our restaurants and see how we can actually improve the overall performance of our portfolio of restaurants. And in that time, we've been working furiously behind the scenes to actually build a strong portfolio of really good restaurants that we can look forward to over the next 5 years. So, I mean, we've been working to actually develop a pipeline of restaurants, and that will come through over the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, what kind of capital commitment have you earmarked for Burger King and an expansion on that front?
Yeah, so Burger King, I think over the next 2.5 years will require about on approximately 125 million before it starts becoming net income positive, meaning or free cash flow positive, meaning that it can actually fund its own growth.
Yeah. Just going back to your failed Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Roberts brands, which, you know, Grand Parade recently pulled the plug on. Is anyone interested? Are you seeing any potential buyers cropping up for these brands?
Yeah. So, I mean, we did entertain quite a lengthy due diligence process. However, you know, we had a deadline in terms of when we wanted to, you know, get rid of these brands. And so we obviously hadn't received any offers until then and decided that, you know, voluntary liquidation would be the best way to mitigate our losses in the business. However, some of those interested buyers are still interested in Dunkin' Donuts, and they're still doing their due diligence. And we could possibly do a deal through the liquidator. But I can't really comment on the details of those investors just yet.
Let's leave the conversation there for now. Of course, that acting CEO of Grand Parade Investments, Mohsen Tajbhai, just really drilling down into some of the detail and strategic planning around their food division. Not enough time to get into an update on their gaming and leisure business. That we'll leave for another time. In the meantime, on the global front, we've had Germany's 2 largest banks confirm that they're in merger talks, and we get more insight on those ongoing talks straight after the break. So keep watching. Well, Germany's Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank have confirmed that they've agreed to enter into formal merger talks. Let's head over to Bronwyn now for more detail on how markets are reacting to the announcement.
Thanks, Alicia. As you've highlighted, Germany's two biggest banks have confirmed that they are in merger talks. The proposed tie-up of Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank will create a single bank with combined assets of 1.9 trillion euros. But the criticism is, and always has been, will a merger help resolve Deutsche Bank's problems with profitability? While we wait to see how that unfolds, let's cross to Konrad Buesen from Deutsche Welle, who joins us from Frankfurt. Konrad, thanks so much for your time today. So the merger between Commerzbank and Deutsche Bank has been rumored on the trading floor for quite some time. Now that it's been confirmed that these two are actually in talks, how are investors reacting?
Well, in terms of the share prices, the reaction is pretty positive. Both Deutsche Bank's as well as Commerzbank's shares were big gainers this Monday, which of course might be the short-term reflex of short-term oriented investors who immediately start to buy shares when there's talk of cost-cutting, savings, of consolidation in the sector. Whether or not investors, whether or not the owners and people here in the financial world will really warm up to the idea in the mid and long term remains to be seen. Obviously, the idea behind it is that a larger bank would be more profitable, that it would have a higher market share. But on the other hand, it's quite possible and it's imaginable that a merger process would be a rather long and tedious one. And we should not forget, it's very likely that a bank would be created here too big to fail. Deutsche Bank already now is one of the most systemically risky ones in the world. We would see a bank created here that eventually might have to be bailed out by the taxpayer in case there's trouble.
Okay, so while those talks have been confirmed, rumors are now doing the rounds about Deutsche Bank's asset manager DWS and the fact that it could be sold to fund the deal. Are you giving those rumors any weight, Konrad?
Well, yes. I mean, the shares in DWS skyrocketed this Monday. Obviously, people on the markets, they don't know what the merger in the end might look like. There are many options on the table. A partial merger, maybe a holding structure for the combined bank. But a majority of people on the markets are convinced that Deutsche Bank needs cash in order to make this merger possible and also in order to remain the dominant player in this future bank. A capital increase is not very likely. Deutsche has tapped its shareholders several times, often in order to be able to pay high bonuses to not so successful bankers. So, of course, a sale or a partial sale of DWS would be an option for Deutsche Bank to raise cash.
It really does seem like today is a day for takeover news. We've also had Fidelity National Information Service agree to acquire Worldpay for about $34 billion. It would be the biggest deal to date in the booming payments industry. Is that generating much interest in for markets today besides the news about Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank?
Well, of course, it's important news for the markets. The share prices have reacted positively. Also, other fintech shares are up today. Worldline, Ingenico, Wirecard, all of them profiting. And of course, people here in Frankfurt are seeing this merger in light of the story of Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank. With more consolidation in the fintech sector, which makes profitability in the fintech sector more likely, the pressure is rising on the traditional banks to also do something about their profitability. The fintechs, some of them are already eating away some of the business of the traditional banks, and if they don't pay attention, they will lose even more, of the favor of investors. They will lose money to the fintechs.
Konrad, thanks so much for your insights today, but we have to leave it there. Konrad Buesen is from Deutsche Welle, and that's a wrap of your global news headlines. Alicia, it's back to you.
Thanks, Bronwyn, and that's where I leave things with you for now. Do stay tuned for Tomorrow Today. That's coming up straight after the break, and I'll see you back at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, you're opting as your stock pick gaming of a different kind. So talk us through that.
EA, Electronic Arts, I think they basically have had a bit of a doubt in the spell for a little while right now. They've just got a new game called Apex Legends, and you don't ask me if I've played it, I have not. But apparently it's one of those new shooter games that is really like taking the world by storm. What they did was they paid some guy called Ninja, who's a famous gamer out there, $1 million to play it for a day. Well, that's the kind of job I want. And apparently that's really paid off, because now it's gotten some of the fastest growth in human history in terms of, you know, pick up by, you know, players out there. And it's become the new Fortnite, effectively. And that might be a new kind of blockbuster game for EA. And there'd been a fear that EA hadn't had a blockbuster game for quite some time. And it wasn't scheduled to have another one coming in the near future.
Let's leave it there, Viv. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Viv Govender is with RandSwiss Offshore.